I'm here to make jokes. I have no agenda. I'm not trying to get anything accomplished. So everyone that's here from Congress, you should feel right at home.
That's one of the first jokes from the correspondents' dinner this weekend. Michelle Wolf, a lot of conversation, a lot of debate, a lot of very strong feelings. We talked to Lewis Black before the news, and I wanted to see what somebody in the audience and someone who's been to these dinners many times might have thought about this. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, filling in for John Williams. And Clarence Page is on the line with us, of course, senior member of the Chicago editorial board. Hey, Mr. Page, how are you doing today?
Just great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Were you at this year's dinner?
Yes, I was. I've suffered through about 20 or 25 of these dinners.
Wow. So you've seen uncomfortable, right?
Yeah. You know, it's fascinating to me. This was the most uncomfortable I've seen a speaker put people since Stephen Colbert back during the Bush, George W. Bush's years. And it was shortly after his show was starting to gain some popularity. So a lot of folks in the audience weren't that familiar with him. And as witnesses will tell you, the folks in the audience were kind of mixed in their reaction, whether to laugh or not, some of the jokes, while the people watching at home loved it. And it helped to catapult Colbert's career. A similar thing happened to Myers a few years later. Who's now on the Tonight Show? I guess it is. I'm not that familiar with late night TV as I should be.
This is Myers shows comes on at right after the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show. Yes,
that's right. That's right. He was terrific. In fact, that was the night he told a joke about Donald Trump. Trump was in the audience. That's the last time Trump has been to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, including this year.
Wow. Okay. So, I'm glad you brought up Stephen Colbert's performance. The way I understood it, if I recall correctly at the time, as you mentioned, he wasn't as popular as he is now, obviously. He had the Colbert Report on Comedy Central. He had been a correspondent on Jon Stewart's show. What right. I remember is I think that he was hired because people didn't quite get that he was actually skewering conservatives on his show. He was doing a send-up of the O'Reilly Factor.
That's right. And he it was a very good send up. A lot of folks thought he was a conservative. He had a great ironic way of couching his bites. Now, there was George W. Bush sitting just a few people away from him. My favorite line from Colbert's speech, where he was defending the president and pointing out, sir, everyone knows that reality has got a liberal bias. There was a pause for a half second, and everybody roared. Well, especially me, I'll never forget that. I've reused that line many times.
Well, and that's the thing is that there were some cleverly written jokes in Michelle Wolf's set.
Yes, there were,
and it felt as though the audience. Look, the audience is always going to be kind of like, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? I mean, I remember watching audio of Don Imus ripping apart the Clintons, and as you mentioned, Colbert, yeah. And this sort of weird response, Wanda Sykes. Many people also thought that she had crossed the line, but
I was there that night. But remember, that was Barack Obama's. I think that was his first White House correspondent there, and she obviously revered Obama, so she was not that nasty about him. She even called him sir a couple of times while she was doing it.
Here, I want to listen. I know some people have already heard some of these, but I'm gonna play another clip. This is number four. This one was this is where it starts. It starts to get a little bit weird.
There is a lot to cover tonight. There's a lot to go over. I can't get to everything. I know there's a lot of people that want me to talk about Russia and Putin and collusion, but I'm not going to do that because there's also a lot of liberal media here, and I've never really wanted to know what any of you look like when you orgasm. Except for maybe you, Jake Tapper. I bet it's something like this. That's all the time we have.
So, Clarence Page, do you think that that was probably perhaps the dirtiest, many people in the room would have wanted? Because she not only got dirty, there were some that were people think that it was a little unnecessary. But would you say this was the raunchiest performance you've seen at the Correspondents' Dinner?
That particular joke I thought was really well delivered.
I thought so too.
Well, but I was uncomfortable when she went after Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who was just sitting two seats away.
Right.
And the thing was, it wasn't. It went from funny to nasty real fast.
Which one was the nastiest to you? Because
bad.
Which one was the nastiest, Sarah Huckabee? Because when she said that she burns facts and uses the ash, so taking truth basically and using that to make a smoky eye, that was that one. one, right?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to break your punchline, but I'm not going to quote this exactly right. But she described Sarah as a Uncle Tom for women.
Who they
want to be proud of her, but she embarrasses them. That was the line, and I'm not quoting it exactly right. But
what do you call somebody who disappoints white women? And she said, Aunt Coulter, right?
That's right. That's right. That was the second punchline right behind it. And it was, that's the thing. I understand the joke and I get it. But, you know, the delivery and with Sarah Huckabee sitting right there a couple of seats away, it would have been different if she was going to come up and give a speech right after, like at a comedy roast.
Right.
But there was no equal time on this occasion. I, by the way, am a member of the Gridiron Club, which is the oldest press club in Washington. And our motto is, first of all, the gridiron singes but doesn't burn. So our jokes don't cross the line if we can help it. And we pre-screen all of the main jokes that we perform, although the speakers are free to say what they want to say. And the other line is that the president always gets the last word. That's the other line. So whoever the president is. And this year, Donald Trump did show up at the gridiron. He skipped last year, but he did show up this year. He was well greeted, and he was funny for about 10 minutes. Unfortunately, he spoke for about 40 minutes.
Oh, no.
That's another story, you know. But trying to get Trump to tell self-deprecating humor is just very hard to do, his own staff will tell you. And I think that was probably the main reason why he didn't show up this year. But now he feels vindicated because of the way Sarah Huckabee Sanders was treated.
Well, that's the thing I noticed the most, was that this kind of played into President Trump and many in his administration who could say, look, see, that, you know, they're just nasty, they're foul-mouthed, which is so strange coming from this administration. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, right. That's the other issue. A lot of folks say, you know, well this kind of lets Trump off the hook when you start, behaving as badly as him. You go low and we go lower, that sort of thing. So that's part of the argument that's going on in the wake of Saturday night.
Now, we're talking to Clarence Page from the Chicago Tribune, and I have to ask, what do you think about the sort of evolution of this correspondence dinner? You know, especially because the climate has changed, the tone of it has changed, the people who attend it has changed. Do you think it should still continue as a tradition?
I think people only see a short snatch of it. Most of the evening was dedicated to awards and tributes to journalists who are now in jail around the world.
And we don't even know that. Yeah,
there are all these young journalism scholarship winners, including some from Chicago, who were honored. Most people don't see all the rest of it, or even the rest of the speakers. They just hear one part that stirred controversy, which just goes to show you can't trust the media. See,
there you go. Well, I think actually, let me just play. I know I told you we weren't going to play anymore, but there is just one last joke that I thought didn't land well enough. I thought was actually pretty funny. Number nine, about the print media.
There's a lot of print media here. There's a ton of you guys, but I'm not going to go after print media tonight because it's illegal to attack an endangered species.
That's true.
Exactly. That was.
Everybody was turning to everybody saying, that's true.
Is that why we didn't get as big of an applause? Because people were looking like, oh, yeah, please.
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding us.
Yes, all the bad memories. And I mean, it is a serious situation. I don't want to make light of it. But she also, I thought you were going to play this part where she talked about how, she mocked the media for being mad at Trump, while at the same time, he has helped our circulation.
Oh, she basically said that President Trump made you guys, helped you sell newspapers, sell your books, and sell TV.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a little over the top, but not entirely, because she's right. We have had a lot more activity, a lot more public interest in public affairs since Trump's election, and that's our business. We do it, and it's something we talk about all the time. But it was like I said, she also, I don't know if we're going to get to it or not, but also about the Democrats, she had one really well-crafted line about people suspecting the Democrats of working with the Russians. She said, how do they expect the Democrats to find Russia when they can't even find Michigan and Wisconsin?
Yes.
And this another very true joke that points out a big weakness among the Democrats. But you won't hear the conservatives complaining about that one. They just talk about the ones where she hit the Republicans and conservatives, which indeed were more numerous.
Yeah, there was a lot to take apart. I have the entire transcript in front of me, and I look forward to someday meeting you. I know you're in D.C. right now, getting some work done, and next time you're in Chicago, I would love to have you in studio. I'm on a little bit later. I'm on 11 p.m. to 2 a.m., but if you're a night owl at all, it'd be good to have you on the show.
I'd love to come on again. Been a long time.
Appreciate that. Please read Clarence Page in the Chicago Tribune. Go to chicagotribune.com. Print is not dead, my friend.
That's right.
That's right. We're live and kicking. Have a wonderful rest of your afternoon.
Thank you. You too.